And I know it's unusual. Usually in Sunday school classes that I have attended, that it's always it's been giving out information and giving out the Word of God. And this is the first time I think I've ever seen a test like this. Okay. And we have had tests, little quizzes and stuff, but this is actually giving you a test. The test is not for me. The test is to test yourselves to see how you're comprehending. And a lot of it, you're going to find that are just, it's not, I shouldn't say common sense. It's if you've been reading through the Proverbs, especially in this last, this will be my fifth week. Okay, if you've been reading through the Proverbs, we need Robert. If you've been reading through the Proverbs along with us in the last 5 weeks, then a lot of these things will just come. And they're simple. It's going to be a 3-page test. Okay. And it's most of it's multiple choice. Okay. And especially the last page. Hopefully we'll have time to spend going over the questions, especially on the last page. But I'm going to ask Jeff, will you help me and pass these out? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I learned my lesson that first time.
Give me an opportunity to keep it up.
Okay, it's a closed book test. Put your Bibles down, put your notes away. You're testing yourselves. That's what's happening here. You're testing yourselves. Okay. I'm just giving you the opportunity. I'm making the way. And I know we have visitors, but it should be fine with them also. First 2 pages should be for anyone. So, okay, we're going to take about. Let's see. Okay, we're going to take about 15 minutes at the most. Okay, when you finish, just kind of look up, and I'll get an idea of how many people are finished, and then we'll go into the answers. You can start. Go ahead and start. Guys, you're cheating.
Yes.
collaborating. That's okay. I noticed Robert came in just on time. say, how are we doing? We need 5 more minutes? Yes or no? Uh-oh. Number 12. Yeah, there's 2 blanks. Okay, one of the answers will cover that. So I gave you the answer. Yeah, I know. I see people cheating what I see. No, I didn't notice Robert came in. I don't care.
What's that?
See you. Are just taken right from Proverbs. We'll go through real quickly, and then we'll spend some time on the last page. Okay, number one, it says, when wisdom entered into the heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, blank shall preserve you.
Discretion.
Look at Proverbs 2, 10 and 11. We're going to be turning to a lot of the scriptures to back these up. Proverbs 2, verses 10 and 11. Or you can just note these because we're not going to go ahead and read every one of them. But that would be Proverbs 2, verses 10 and 11. The second question, wisdom, blank, him that hath understanding. But that which is in the heart of a fool is made known. That would be A. Proverbs 14, 33. Number 3, the wise in heart shall be called blank, and the sweetness of the lips increase learning. Okay, that would be D, Proverbs 16, verse number 21. Number 4, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. That's Proverbs 9:9. Number 5, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will be. Okay, that's Proverbs. All these will be Proverbs. So 9:9-8, chapter 9, verse 8. Number 6, he that troubles his own house shall inherit the wind, and the blank shall be servant to the wise of heart. It's 11:29. First, or number 7, even a fool when he holds his peace is counted wise, and he that shuts his lips is esteemed
a man of understanding.
A man of understanding. I think that's where the saying comes. Keep your mouth closed and people think you're stupid. And open it and remove all doubt. But, okay. That was 17:28. Number 8. A scorner seeks wisdom, blank, but knowledge is easy unto him that understands. It's A. A is correct. Proverbs 14:6. Okay. Did anyone catch that D? Look at D. Did you catch that? You know what that means?
By dint of effort finds it.
Yeah. Din of effort finds it. That's a stroke. Din is it's actually a word.
Yeah.
Din. Yeah. It's a stroke of effort finds it. Okay. Number 9. In the lips of him that has understanding, wisdom is found, but blank him that is void of understanding.
Hey, a rod.
A rod is for the back.
Not the angle
No. Hopefully not. Hopefully not. That's 10:13. Number 10. He that is void of wisdom, be a blank, but a man of understanding holds his peace. B, yes. 11:12. Okay. Hear counsel and receive blank, that you may be wise in the latter end.
Instruction, D.
19:20. And 12, how much better is it to get wisdom than blank, and to get understanding rather than to be chosen than blank? Which one of those? Actually, C. Gold and silver. That would be C, and that's 16:16. Okay. Did anyone get all of them? Whoa. Okay. Yeah, I took the test initially. See, this test, that particular part was not mine. It was just something I got from somewhere. But I didn't get all of them. I missed two. One or two. Okay, 13. Now we want to spend the rest of our time. About a half an hour we got. In this last page. And this is so I can understand if you got what I was trying to get across. It's for me. The other part was for you, just to see what you really know about this, the flow of Proverbs. And now this is for you, but it's also mainly, I think, for me. How many different definitions of the word wisdom are used in the Bible? And we had a handout. Remember that? Okay, anyone want to take a shot at it? Two? Five? How many say two? How many say five? Okay, how many say 10? And the answer is 12. Right. Okay, so you see why we went into wisdom, really? And we explained, or tried to explain anyhow, that you have to go to the context to understand what they're saying when they say wisdom. And for me, in all of my studies, and I spent a lot of hours just to get this little bit that I got, but the best book that I had, other than the Bible, was a concordance. And using the concordance, going back into the Greek and the Hebrew in the back, words that are translated, used it a whole lot. And I've had concordance for 40-something years. And I've used it in the past, but nothing like this. But it's very, very interesting. You'll learn a lot from a concordance. Very, very good. But anyhow, number 14. Now, there was no multiple choice here, but it says, define the word fear as it is used in the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111:10. And we did define that term. What was the definition? You give me the definition of fear. What was the definition of fear? I said when I first heard the gospel, okay, and the fact that that we're sinners and God condemns sinners to hell apart from Christ, what was my reaction? I was afraid. Okay, so one of the definitions of that fear there is actually being afraid. But there's also another definition of fear.
And reverential awe.
Reverential awe would be the best definition. And can you go a little bit further? What that reverential awe? What does that mean? I mean, those are big words, but what does that mean, Judy? Okay, and then how does the fear come in now? Anyone? Judy? Oh, right now, Peggy?
We don't want to please God.
Yeah, a fear of not pleasing God.
Yes.
Very good. Okay. Number 15, and we're going pretty quick, so we're going to have to stretch this out just a little bit, but I still have some other things I want to bring up. What is a proverb? Now, I gave you four choices there. And it's a trick question. All the above. All of them. All right. It's a pithy saying. It's an adage. It's a cliche or a motto. Okay. Very good. So at least some people are listening. All right. Which book? Which New Testament book is referred to as Proverbs of the New Testament?
James.
Book of James. And why is that? Good. You did listen. See, Katie's sitting right up front. She catches all this. I know the rest of you have an excuse because I don't speak that loud sometimes. Okay, number 17, though. It says, name the four types of wisdom we studied in the previous classes. What would be number one? What was the first? Number one was?
God's wisdom.
Okay, God's wisdom. And this is wisdom that God alone has. Okay. And can somebody give me a definition or a further definition? You can use your notes. Okay, go ahead and use your notes. Peggy? Yes, that was one. What about the wisdom of God, though? We said God's wisdom. What is the definition?
The infinite, perfect comprehension of all that is or might be.
Okay, did you get that? Did everybody hear that? What Chip just said? Can you say it again a little louder?
The infinite, perfect comprehension of all that is or might be.
Okay. Okay, the wisdom that God alone has. Number two, what do we say? What kind of wisdom? These four types of wisdom, what's the second type?
Human
wisdom or worldly wisdom. Or the wisdom, this is the wisdom of the what man?
Unregenerate.
The unregenerate man. Okay. Can you give me a definition for that? Can you read me a definition for that?
I don't have a definition. I just have technical skills, administrative skills, military prowess, and then several verses. But no, I don't have a succinct definition.
Okay, well, I don't either. I didn't bring that particular note. Okay. Anyone else? Did anyone in your notes have that definition? Mm-hmm. That's part of it. Yes, that was part of it. Okay, well, we're going to skip on down to number three. What was the third one then?
Regenerate man.
Okay, regenerate man. Okay, there was a difference between the unregenerate and regenerate, obviously. What was the difference between the two?
Regenerate man has the Spirit of God.
Has the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, indwelling him. Therefore, he can discern spiritual matters. Whereas the unregenerate man cannot. We said that the unregenerate man can be wise. And we'll get into that as we speak about the natural man. But the unregenerate man could be very wise and very knowledgeable. But he doesn't discern spiritual things. And that is the great difference. And that's the difference of life and death, really. And then we spent almost a complete lesson on number four. Wisdom personified. Okay, and we told you that there were two views of that, especially in the book of Proverbs. And the two views were wisdom personified was, number one, Christ, number two, an attribute. Okay, and I gave you my arguments for why I believe that it was the attributes. And those were there were two things that we covered there. What were the two things that we covered?
Gender.
You have to speak up. I even got my hearing aids.
Gender
and origin. Yeah. Okay. We won't go into the details there, but remember, hopefully you got the notes and you can work on those. All right, number 18. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, we read about the natural man. Who is he? And can you give some examples? Who is the natural man? 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn there. Or 1 Corinthians, really. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now, who is the spirit of the natural man that we're talking about there?
The unsaved man, what is the Holy Spirit?
Okay, the unregenerate man, the unsaved man. And we said this can be from what to what? I mean, it's from what levels? From the ignorant to the person that doesn't understand, can't read, illiterate, up to man at his apex, the brilliant genius. Okay, if they are unregenerate, it doesn't matter. They all fall into that same category as natural man, and they can't understand the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. So that difference of the regenerate and the unregenerate man, the regenerate man having the Holy Spirit within them, that's the difference of life and death, as we said. Okay, if you want to look real quickly at Romans 1, 18 through 21, in regards to this, and I told you this is just a side note that I had in my Bible that reminds me that how far unregenerate man, or the natural man, is from the things of God, and why. In verse number 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth," or they hold down the truth in unrighteousness, "because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And we pointed out in the footnote, the note that I've just scribbled into my Bible, says, they see it for what it is, but they don't like it. It says that they see it for what it is, but they don't like it. It's not that they just don't understand it. It's that they totally reject it. Natural man. Okay. Okay. So we had that. We got five suggested ways of seeking wisdom now. And we've got about 10 minutes. We'll see how far we can go. But the five suggested ways of seeking wisdom. Okay. First of all, I'd like you to just, can you think of it off the top of your head? If not, go ahead and we'll go to the notes. But can you think, what were some of the ways? You tell me some of the ways that we used, the five ways.
Prayer.
All right. As we did it, we had prayer. Third, it's not that there's actually a priority there, but
Thinking on your death.
Okay. D-A-D-H. Katie?
High desire.
Okay. We have that desire, the very first. And we're going to go back and talk about these just briefly, so, because we're actually closing out. I'm going to be going for the next couple of weeks, and I don't know when we'll be picking up, but when we pick up, we'll actually be going into the Proverbs. But. Okay. Read Scripture and good books is what Katie said.
Multitude
of counsel. That's good. That's not actually what we had brought up, but that's certainly good. I think Chip.
Continually coming to Christ.
Okay. And the last we had was. In present tense, continually coming to Christ. First of all, these would not matter if you haven't come to Christ anyhow. If you don't come to Christ, it doesn't matter. You can do all the others. But it's not just a matter of the one time coming to Christ, but continually going back to Christ. So these are ways that we can see. This isn't the only ways, but these are five ways that we, first of all, have to have a desire for wisdom. We're seeking after wisdom. We have to have a desire to seek after wisdom. It doesn't. Well, I think there's natural man will have a natural tendency to think of higher education or bettering himself in his skills and techniques. We've talked about the unregenerate man having skills in military prowess and all these things. The Bible tells us about the generals or the leaders of the armies in the Old Testament and how wise some of them were in regards to military prowess. Also in their administration. They knew how to take care of or to administer things. Building of cities and all that. Even the building, you think about Babel, building the Tower of Babel, that took a lot of wisdom there. A lot of administration there. Okay, but it wasn't godly wisdom. Okay. So, desire, study of the Bible. We kind of gave you a little plan there. If you studied 15 minutes a day, if you studied or read good books, 15 minutes a day, by the end of the year, how many books, just regular size standard books, could you read? We gave you a number. I mean, it's hard to put a definite number, but we came up with one. 20. You could read about 20 standard good books. Probably nice paperbacks or whatever. But if you've longed to study some of the classics, you know, we pointed out some of the classics of Christianity, that's one way of doing it. And you know what happens when you start doing that 15 minutes? And you think about, read something, you start meditating on it. Pretty soon you're going to find that your 15 minutes goes into a half an hour. And you're going to find out that was time that you had thrown away doing something that was useless anyhow. I mean, we're all the same. Let's face it, we're all the same. You'll find that 15 minutes goes into 20 minutes and then it goes into maybe a half an hour. But if you do latch on to that time, every day, by the end of the year, you could have read 20 books. Okay. One way of seeking wisdom. Okay. And I'm not saying just any books, but we're saying study of the Bible, meditating, or studying good books. And, of course, James tells us in 1:5 that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And so prayer. When I first started this study, one of the things came to me is that on Wednesday night we pray about a lot of different things. Okay. In James, where it says for us, if any man lacks wisdom, the question came to me was, wisdom in what? Wisdom in what? And actually, through the study, the answer is wisdom in everything. For the Christian, there's not small things. There's wisdom. We need wisdom in everything we do. You know, for our jobs, for just that day by day trudge. I mean, we need wisdom to drive down the street, or to watch over our families, or to cook the meals, or whatever. I mean, those are kind of common wisdom, but we need wisdom in everything that we do. And then number four, we talked about death. Think often. Think of the brevity of life. What kind of life at our death do we want to look back upon, for one thing? Okay. Was it a wise life? I think all of us can say we've thrown away a lot of time, and instead of seeking after wisdom, we've done other things. But that's in the past. Thank God that God forgives us for our sins, our frivolousness. And lastly, coming to Christ. We can't emphasize this enough. You know, we could have put it first. Okay, priority wise, it definitely is first. Coming to Christ. If we don't know Christ, then once again, we can desire, and we can study, and we can pray, and we can think on our death. But if we don't know Christ, we don't know true wisdom. And that's what it's telling us, that the beginning of wisdom, or the fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom. And so hopefully we'll at least take some of this away with us, use it, you know. In the future, and I don't know when I'm going to do a study again. It won't be as long. I know that. It may be a couple of weeks. It may be 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, but it won't be as long as it has been. We'll actually look into the book of Proverbs and start. Proverbs is in a sense, is a difficult book to study in this context. You can do topical studies, but it's kind of hard to go chapter by chapter because it is what? What it was a proverb? A short, pithy saying. Okay, so it's kind of difficult, but there's definite chapters in Proverbs where there is a storyline there that we can follow, and so that's what we'll seek to do. I wanted to start into the Proverbs even today, but I knew that it would be, you know, trying to do a test, and which I had promised to you, and this is my last day up here, and so I didn't want to not give you the test after promising it. But I wanted to start into Proverbs chapter 1. So before we get together again, you can be looking in Proverbs and studying Proverbs yourself. And then in those, there are going to be more give and take. Okay? I'm not sure just how to structure that and how to do that. This is all new to me, but we'll figure out how we can do that. So you do your studies, and I'll do mine, and I'll ask you the questions, and you'll have them already right there, okay, on the hard drive. Okay. Well, we've got about 2 or 3 minutes left. Any questions that maybe I can answer in regards to how we're going to study, what we're going to study, and that kind of stuff? Any question in regards to Proverbs?
Dick, at the end of last time, under your one suggestion for seeking wisdom, you know, think on your death often, I asked you if there were any other scriptures.
Right.
That might be helpful to open up to the class to see if there are any other scriptures that come to mind with respect to how it is that thinking often of your own death, or thinking of death in general, is conducive to seeking wisdom.
And my the one
yeah, was Psalm 90,
which is teach us to number our days, right? And I know we talked about this after the class, and I didn't have others, and what I was trying to do actually was kind of pare things down so I didn't just get bogged down. I gave you a lot of scriptures over these last 5 weeks. And as Chip and I agreed, all it has to do is have one scripture. But yeah, we'd like to bolster that if we can. Can anyone else think of the scripture off the top of your head? It says, teach us to number our days. What another scripture that would... Life is but a paper.
That's a good one. I mean, the whole point was, remember, life is short.
It's very short. The brevity of life was
there. To live in the light of the brevity of life, or to live in the light of eternity.
Right. Correct.
Anyway, I think a really good one is 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 18, because it talks about living in the light of eternity. Well, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we always have eternity before us. And so that should, if God blesses it and we really seek that should cause us to live in that light, that our life is short and that every minute counts, and that wasting time is a very horrible thing.
Right. Okay. Pastor?
I didn't necessarily hear anything, but did anyone reference Ephesians 5:15-16? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time.
That'd be good.
Because the days are evil.
Right. Okay. Just in closing, and it is time for us to close, but in closing, this next study that we do have, when it comes, I'm not sure when it's going to be, but it'll be down the road a ways. I'd like to encourage you, first of all, to gather here closer to me, so we're more of an intimate group, so we're not scattered, okay? And for all to give their input. I want to seek a way that we can all take part in this. And I'm thinking of ladies too. Sometimes the tendency is, I don't want to say anything or whatever, but that's not what I want. If it's out of nervousness, let me encourage you that if I can get up here for 5 weeks, you can speak from the pew. No, really, I'm dead serious when I say this. If I can get up here, then from the pew, you can contribute. And that's what I want. I want your contribution. So be encouraged. And be studying Proverbs. At least looking at Proverbs. Okay. Why don't we close the word of prayer? It's time for us to go. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you, as the all-wise, all-knowing God, have provided for us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, access to your throne of grace. You have given to us a Savior, that you have called us from darkness into your marvelous light through the preaching of your word and by your Spirit. And we thank you, God. We thank you that you have given us time when we can gather together and once again look into your word. Our desire is to know more of you, to become more wise in regards to the things of God. And Lord, in turn, may we use that wisdom to tell others about our Lord and Savior, and to live lives that would please and honor and glorify you. We do pray for the preaching this day, Father, as it goes forth across this nation and around the world. We pray that you would be pleased to unction your word. We pray, Father, that your Spirit would convince and convict hearts and minds of your truth. For those outside of Christ, God, may you be pleased to save many this day. Mm-hmm. Father, we look to our nation and we see the sin and depravity, but we know that that is not only in this nation, but it's around the world because of sinful man. And we pray, Father, that that remedy of the balm of Gilead, as it were, would go forth. Lord, that men and women, boys and girls, would see the Lord Jesus Christ and turn to him. Father, we pray for the young people in the back as they progress and as they study in your word and as they are taught. We pray, Father, that you would use that, Lord, to also bring them to yourself. Our desire, Father, this day is to worship you and to glorify you in all we do as we lift up our voices in song, as we hear your word spoken and read. We pray that Jesus Christ would be glorified and, Lord, that we would honor and glorify you through our lives. Bless this day, Lord. We consecrate it to you, and we thank you again for the privilege, Lord, to come and to worship you. And we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.